We are celebrating life today, and at the conclusion of our service, receive an offering that will go to the Pregnancy Care Center, Shamokin, as well as the Expectations Women's Center in Lewisburg. And I'll just read a little statement from them. Through the grace and strength of Jesus Christ, and with the help of dedicated volunteers, donors, and prayer warriors, our center is doing its part to turn the tide toward life. Some of you have been involved in supporting the ministry and work of the Pregnancy Care Center or other facilities and ministries that reach out to families, and we want as a church to support that. Thank you for your involvement in different ways, and may the Lord help us to value life from the very youngest, from those very early days of conception all the way up through through the end of this life and into eternity. God values life. And this morning I want to talk to you about how Jesus values life and what he said about life in John chapter 10. We've been in a series of messages basically from the ministry of Jesus, the words of Jesus. We've read different things that he has said, and we've looked at some of the stories of how he interacted with people. And truly, we've looked at the heart of God through the words of Jesus. And this morning, I want to think a little bit and talk about how life is important to God and how your life is important to God. And every single one of us is valued by God. We have a God who knows us personally. We have a God who somehow in his infinite nature can know 8 or 7.5 billion different people. Now that seems impossible to us. We have a very small circle of our ability to know people and understand them, but we serve an infinite God, and somehow he understands every single person in life. There's not a person here this morning that God doesn't know and care about and understand. Truly, life is precious to God, and Jesus cared about people, and he showed that in his stories and in his words and in his parables, and he has something to teach us about how God sees us. We're created in God's image. There's something about that that is amazingly unique, that God could create every single person in his image, not just mankind in his image that sometimes I say, as a preacher sometimes, God made man in his own image, but to put your name in there, God made Linda in his own image. God made Joanne in his own image. Take your name this morning and put it in there and realize that there's a God in heaven who made you in his image, and he cares about you. He knows you personally and individually. And I often quote Psalm 139 where the psalmist writes, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and God wove us together in our mother's womb. There's something about the amazing miracle of conception and the development. This little video showed a little bit of the processes and stages of the development of life. But imagine inside that womb is the knowledge of God, that he knows every single person and how the DNA comes together and all the enzymes and all the things that go into the development of a baby, and all designed by God. That's amazing. Life is amazing. So many things about how God cares about us is absolutely amazing. And I guess when I think of the beginning and conception, that it just starts there with how can God possibly understand and bring that together? But deep within God's heart is a love for people, and a love for babies, and a love for life, and he cherishes it. I want to read Jesus' words that he said about life and what's important to Jesus about life. In John chapter 10 is a whole chapter where Jesus describes himself and in a way gives us a picture of who he is and how he wants to be seen by us. What it is that Jesus wants us to know about the heart of God, as Jesus is the full representation of God. This is how Jesus describes himself. John chapter 10, I'm going to read 11 verses. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opened the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out all on his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is how Jesus is describing himself. A lot of ways that we can kind of study or focus on who Jesus is. We might focus on the perspective of what the prophet said or what the disciples said or what the writers of the New Testament said about Jesus. But this chapter and this picture is straight from Jesus' heart of what he says to you and to me of how Jesus wants us to see him. How does Jesus want us to understand who he is and how he feels about you and I? This is how he wants us to see him. The Gospel of John uniquely records 8 things that Jesus says about himself. I say uniquely because they're not found, the 8 of them, in the other Gospels. A couple of them are mentioned here and there, and there's some overlap, but by and large, John, the writer of John's Gospel, focuses on and is very specific to record the things that Jesus described himself. The writing of the Gospel of John is different than the other 3 Gospels. It's unique in some ways, and one of the ways it's unique is how John records those statements that Jesus made about his nature so that we can see him in a personal and a real and a connective way. These descriptions, some people have called them the I Ams of Jesus. If you've heard that term or you maybe studied or read it, you've read all the times that Jesus said, I am. Well, that's what I'm describing this morning. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And that illustration from the soil just helped people to understand something about the nature of Jesus. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and other ways that Jesus described himself. Well, this morning I want to think of this description. I want you to think about what it means that Jesus said, I am the shepherd. I am the good shepherd. What was Jesus saying to you when he said, I am the shepherd? When he talks about the nature of a shepherd, obviously shepherding was far more relevant and personal in Jesus' day than it is in ours. We still have shepherds today, but not nearly as many, and we don't live in an agricultural and animal society as Jesus did, but we still are around enough to know what a shepherd is. But Jesus uses this very well-known, and certainly everybody in his day would have related to the importance of the shepherd. The shepherd was very important in Jesus' culture. And there were many of them. Some shepherds were good shepherds and some shepherds were bad shepherds. Throughout the Bible, those who care about people and look after people, often those that are called of God to minister to people, are called shepherds. And so the people in Jesus' day would have known the context of Jesus talking about what a shepherd was and how important. You think about the Bible, you think about all the references to a shepherd in the Bible, and there were many of them. And you just think of the probably the second most quoted verse in the whole Bible is probably Psalm chapter 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. That personal connection to the shepherd, that God wants us to see him in that role. And that's quite a promise that God makes. The Lord is my shepherd. He's not just the shepherd of the flock, but he's my shepherd too. He individually is my shepherd. And that's probably the strongest thing from this chapter speaks to me is Jesus says to us, I'm your shepherd. I want you to know that I am connected and care about you. Some of the greatest characters of the Bible were shepherds. Even though we don't think of them necessarily that was their job, but Noah, we're told, was a shepherd. When you go back and you read about Moses in the wilderness, he was a shepherd, and many others. King David, of course, we think of him definitely as a shepherd, and how God called him as a young shepherd boy and wanted him to be king. And so in the minds of the people who lived in Jesus' day, they would have understood the importance and the meaning of the shepherd. And Jesus, as he describes himself here, says, "I am the good shepherd." And he describes what it means to be a good shepherd. I want to read some of the qualities of what Jesus meant when he said, "I am the good shepherd." And again, I read these and I talk about those this morning because it's good for us to connect them to our lives. What does it mean that Jesus wants to be your shepherd? What does it mean in your everyday life? What does it mean when you're wrestling with decisions? When you're trying to decide what to do with your life? How do you resolve conflicts in your lives? How does God want to help you to do that? Well, he does care deeply about all those things. The first quality that I notice about the shepherd that Jesus talks about is he says he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. You know that God calls you by name? I said a few minutes ago, God knows us individually, and it's so true. You can't hardly overemphasize that, but God knows your name. He knows the hair on your head. Jesus talked about, and throughout the Bible, we're told that God knows everything about us. David talked about how God knew. He knew him when he stood up. He knew him when he sat down. He knew his thoughts that were afar off. God already knows them. Psalm 139 says, God knows every day of your life before one of them comes to be. In so many different ways, the Bible affirms to us how important your life is to God. God knows everything about you. He knows all about your past. He knows all about your dreams. He knows all about your failure. He knows about where you're at today. He knows what it is you're struggling with right now today and questions you have for him, and he cares deeply about you. God knows your voice. He knows everything about you. You are not just a number with a birth date, a date of birth in the file system of heaven, but God knows everything about you. God knows, and with a tenderness, is looking out for you. There's something that the Bible tells us about the great shepherd is he's not standing there with a rod to beat on you and to tell you everything you did wrong. No, what is the good shepherd? The good shepherd is reaching out and showing his care and his love for you. And we need to remember that and know that. It also says here that he speaks to his sheep. God not only knows about you and cares about you, but God also is trying to communicate with you. God is trying to speak to you. In fact, several times in this part of the story, the emphasis is on the voice of the shepherd. The voice of the shepherd. My sheep know my voice. Those that know me know that I'm speaking to them. The truth is, God wants to speak to your life. God wants to speak to the circumstances in your life, and he cares deeply about all those things that are going on inside of you. The truth is, the good shepherd is about communication. That's what we know about God. We know about God that he wants to speak to us, and he's trying to speak to us. We know that God is not screaming. God doesn't scream at people. But he's always speaking. He's always speaking through his truth, through his word, through his Holy Spirit, through people. God's voice is out there. If we don't hear God's voice, it's because we're not quiet enough. We're not listening. We're not tuned in to what God is saying. But the Bible promises us that if we listen, God will speak to us. He who cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. God calls us to be people who are listening because he is speaking to us. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is always working in the life of the believer. If you belong to Jesus, if you've confessed your sins, the Bible promises that the Holy Spirit is speaking in your heart. If you're not hearing his voice, then it means there's something that you're holding out away from God, away from the Holy Spirit. You're saying, I want to be in charge. I don't need you. I don't want to. The Bible says that when we give it to him, we'll hear God's voice. It's so true in every area of your life. When you start listening and you stop talking, when you stop having all the answers and you start listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, that's when you can hear him. That is so true. It's so true in my life. When I'm getting so busy and occupied and so full of things to do and opinions and all those things, and you know, I just really don't hear that quiet voice of God very much. But when I quiet myself, when I'm able to step back and say, Wayne, you just need to be quiet. You need to ask the Holy Spirit of God to speak in your life to the needs that you have. That's when we hear God. That's when I hear God's Spirit. That's when you will hear God's Spirit. If you want to know God's will for your life, you have to listen quietly. Just think of those two words this morning for a moment. Listen quietly. You know, I've never heard God speak loud to me. He never has that I know of. There's been a couple times in my life when I was so sure I heard God give me a message. It wasn't in verbal words. It was deep in my spirit. There's been twice that I felt that in a real strong, powerful way. One time was when I felt like God was calling me to be a pastor. That was an unusual experience in my life, and I would call that God speaking loudly to me, although it wasn't with a voice, but it was deep on the inside. But I'll tell you where I've heard God speak to me so many, many times. It's been in the quiet place. It's been in that time and that place when I'm quiet before God's Spirit. I'm able to say, God, I don't have all the answers, and I'm coming to you today. God says that I will lift up the humble. God tells us that that's who He's looking for. He's looking for people who are humbled in heart and are listening. And if you have that spirit and you have that heart, then God will go and He'll go to that place and speak to you. Whether it's quietly when you're sitting at home, or you're in your car, or you're at work, or you're asleep, God speaks to those who are listening to Him. I am so thankful for the shepherd who hears my voice and knows my heart and responds to me. If you want to know God's will for your life, listen quietly for Him. We're also told here that the shepherd wants to lead his people. We think also again of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside still waters. You really want to find a path to still waters in your life. Whatever you call that, maybe you call it peace, maybe you call it fulfillment, maybe you call it resolving things in your life that are difficult. Whatever you call that, the promise is that the shepherd can lead you there. It's the shepherd who can take you to the place of peaceful waters. It's a shepherd that can give meaning to your life. It's a shepherd that can help you to sort out the priorities, sort out the struggle, sort out all those things that weigh on you and just kind of keep you suppressed and keep you down. When we come to verse 10, and we're going to see the flip side of what Jesus wants to do with your shepherd. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. We also know the shepherd is protective. When we see the stories of the shepherd in the Old Testament, for example, the story of David and how he killed the lion and the bear who attacked the sheep. And again, that's just a picture ahead of time of spiritually what Jesus wants to do in your life. Jesus knows what your enemies are. He knows what your challenges are. He knows the place, that spot where Satan will try to hook you and drag you away from the Spirit of God. And all of us have that. There's not a single person here this morning, no matter how long you've been a Christian, or how short you're a Christian, or how short time you've been a Christian, that Satan doesn't have a place that he's trying to come after you. Some of you know where that is. I mean, some of you know where that area of temptation is. Some of you have kind of been thinking about it, and you've been dealing with it, and you could define for me this morning where it is that Satan's trying to get you. Sometimes we know that, and sometimes we don't. We don't understand it. We don't really see it, or it's too late, or we're just struggling with something. We don't know, but I want you to know that the enemy is trying to deceive you. That's what Jesus talks about. He opens this chapter talking about those that try to get in the pen a different way. A thief and a robber, the words he uses in verse 1. And that's exactly what the enemy is. He's trying to steal from you. He's trying to steal your life from you. He's trying to steal the good things from you that only God can give you. That's what Satan's trying to do. I mean, the whole picture that Jesus gives us of the shepherd begins with the deception. That there is a being out there that is trying to weaken and destroy your faith. It's true today, it will be true tomorrow, it will be true until you take your last breath. Satan will try to destroy you. He says it several times in his chapter. In fact, Jesus says that several times in his I Am statements. He talks about the enemy and how he is trying. One of the things that Jesus wants to do is to make you strong. He wants to protect you. He wants to He's watching out for the enemy. He's watching out for the deception. But again, you've got to listen quietly. You've got to know that He has your best interest in mind and He loves you so much. Yes, they are out there for every single one of us. But the Good Shepherd wants to protect you. The Good Shepherd says He lays down His life for the sheep. Ultimately, it's Jesus who gave it all in ways that we try to ponder and understand how it is that Jesus gave up everything for us. I mean, we can kind of begin to see the cross, but then we think about He left heaven. I mean, how could infinite, eternal God leave heaven? I mean, how could He do that and take on the body of a man and the fullness of a man? And I mean, here's Jesus, fully God and fully man, and He comes and He lays it all down for us. We truly are celebrating life today, and we're celebrating the life of the Good Shepherd that He laid down for us. Jesus did everything He possibly could so that we could be restored to God, that we could have life. I think of the pictures of the shepherd that Jesus gives us. He gives us a picture of laying down His life. He also gives us a picture of the lost sheep. One of the beautiful parables that Jesus told was the parable of the lost sheep. And here again we have Jesus giving to us a picture of the heart of God. And there's so many things in this story that help us to see the great shepherd and what it means that God loves us so much. But here in this story, the shepherd knows that the sheep is lost, and he goes out to find them. There's a picture of the heart of God. God is not content just sitting on a throne room in heaven and looking down with a clipboard and checking out how we're doing and checking off, well, he did good. Well, she blew it. She's kind of on the blacklist for a while. That's not what God is. God is this loving shepherd who goes out to find people. God loves people. He loves people no matter who they are or where they're at. That's the picture of a God that is the great shepherd. The enemy wants to tell you that once you've messed up, then there's no hope. Once you've messed up and you've walked away from God, you've lost your chance. But I want to tell you that Jesus said, I have come to seek and save that which was lost. And there the shepherd is, 99 in the pen and one missing. And where does the shepherd go? He goes out and he looks and he looks and he looks until finally he finds that lamb and says he joyfully puts it on his shoulder and he comes back singing and rejoicing. And that's the heart of God for each one of us. That's the good shepherd. That's how much Jesus loves life and loves you. He is a great shepherd. The enemy wants to destroy you, but Jesus wants to give you life. Jesus wants to give you the fullness of the meaning of life. John chapter 10, the key for me as I think about this part of the story, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I want you to see those words in verse 10, life to the full. You know, it's not just that God wants us to breathe. God wants us to be able to have food and water and be protected from the weather and all those things. And, you know, as Jen kind of joked about things in this life that are important to us, but whether they're important to God. And I think, what is it that God wants for us? He wants us to live life to the full. I don't believe He's talking about wealth. He's not talking about fame. He's not talking about health. He's not talking about those external things that sometimes we feel and make us happy and we think we want. He's talking about the depth of understanding of who He is, living life to the full. That's what Jesus wants for His people. That's what Jesus wants for you. He wants your very best. You might think, well, to the full, what? That's no big deal. Well, the truth is, it is a big deal. Jesus knows what will make you be fulfilled. Jesus knows what will give you contentment. Jesus knows what's going to wrap up your life in ways that you will sense the goodness and the presence and the joy of God. God wants you to have life to the full. When you follow His voice, you get closer and closer and closer to that fulfillment, to that sense of knowing that your heart and your life is right with an eternal and infinite God. That's what Jesus wants for you. Jesus wants you to have that fullness. And when we try to we try to talk about, are we content spiritually? It's hard to define, but that's what Jesus is talking about here. Is your life full of contentment? There's so many different ways that Jesus talked about being filled. I mean, just the word to the full, it has so many connotations. And I looked up, and there are probably about 30 different ways that Jesus talked about and found in the New Testament that talk about fullness of life and what it means when your life is full that Jesus is talking about. And there's really a lot of them. Let me just name a few of them this morning. God wants your life to be full of joy, to be full of joy. You know, there's something about how God looks at us, and you know, sometimes I think He looks down, and a lot of times it may seem like our heads are down instead of up. Sometimes. But He wants us to have joy. That's not the same as happiness. That's something about a fountain on the inside that is fueled by faith. It's fueled by the wonder of who God is, and that's what God wants for us. That's probably why I love that song, "I've Got a River of Life Flowing Out of Me." I know, kind of a kid's song. Some people, I'm sure, like it, and some might not care for it, but boy, I love that song. "I've Got a River of Life." That's what I want to have. I want to have a river of life coming out of me. Not rooted in my circumstances, but rooted in who God is and the privilege and opportunity. Nehemiah wrote, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Joy is so important to us, or to God, and what He wants for us. In John chapter 17, Jesus prays that His church would be full of joy, have the full measure of joy within them. God wants you to be full of joy. That's what life is to Jesus. I also think of other things that Jesus said about the fullness of life and found in the New Testament. And another one is this: God wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. There's something about a fullness that God wants in you that's hard to define. You know, and I don't know if we really can define it, but there's this picture out there of how God describes the fullness that He wants in our lives when we're listening to Him, when we're listening quietly to Him, and we're filled with something to the full measure of something. And you might call it saturation. You might call it all of God and all of you, but that's what Jesus wants for us. That's what the Good Shepherd wants. He wants to fill you from the deepest part of your roots to the very top of your life, to be full of the Holy Spirit, to be full of His Spirit and His love and His grace. I just think of a tree. I think of how important it is that down in the root system, there's that nutrients and there's that water and there's that life-giving stuff, dirt that we don't understand, and how it works its way up to the tree and until what you see above the ground, and then it goes up and it gives life and green and fruit and all those things, and God wants you to have that from the root system up. You can't have the fullness of God just from the ground up. You got to have it deep in the root system. That's what Jesus wants for us. Fullness of His Holy Spirit, deep in the root system, experiencing that Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. "And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God." The fullness of God. There's a fullness to life that Jesus wants to you, a fullness of God. And there's so many others that we could look at this morning, but we're going to stop there today. I just want to encourage you, as you think about the words of Jesus and you think about that He came to, that you would have life, to know that He wants you to be filled all the way with Him. When you're filled with Him, when you're listening quietly, then all the things that God wants to say to you will permeate into your top of your tree and permeate into that stuff that you see and the fruit that's there. God cares deeply about you. The shepherd wants your life to be full. The shepherd wants you to turn to Him and listen to Him and seek Him and give Him everything in your life. I pray that God will help you to seek the fullness of His Spirit in your life. It comes by listening. It comes by listening to the voice of God That's how He can change you. Would you stand with me? And I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask Jen if you'd come back and lead us in a closing song this morning. And our ushers are going to come and receive this offering for the Pregnancy Care Center, the Expectations Women's Center. And sing with us, and ushers, would you come then to receive that offering? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the fullness that we have in Jesus. We're thankful that we have a good shepherd who cares so very deeply about every part of our lives, that He knows our voice, that He cares deeply about where we're at and what we feel and what we're dealing with. We're thankful this morning that we have such a good shepherd. I pray, God, that we would not take that picture of Jesus kind of for granted and dismiss it quickly, but think about what it means that there's a great and a mighty God who loves us so much. Thank You for life. Thank You for the life that we have in You, I pray. In Jesus' name.